You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Jim Stevens' Yellow River album is his fourth release in 36 months on Ropadope Records, but he says he's not done yet. He says he actually has five more albums in the planning stages for the near future. He says music is just all about expression, and Jim is a music-making machine. We talk about that and a whole lot more in this next edition of Americana Music Profiles. So I'm speaking with Jim and Ariel today on the podcast. Welcome, guys. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So you guys, do I have this right? Are you guys in Philadelphia? Is that where we're speaking to you from?
Yes, I'm currently in Philadelphia.
Yeah, awesome. Cool.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Good. So, yeah. Well, and I'm in Virginia, so we're both on the East Coast, and we're both feeling the heat at the moment that we're having this conversation. It's quite warm out today.
Ooh, it is hot, yeah.
So, Jim, if you don't mind, give me a little bit of background on yourself and what led you into a music career, how this all started for you in the beginning.
What led me into a music career? It's all a healing thing. Just expression, man. Just art, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You can be on stage, and you know you can be playing. You know you can be playing like John Coltrane or John Popper, or Arcadum, or you could be just milking every note, like B.B. King, and you know it could be sad or anger or frustration or even happy, but. The audience doesn't know what emotion you're feeling, but they feel something.
Yeah.
So it's all healing and expression for me.
Yeah, for sure. Is this something that was part of your life as a young person, or did this happen later in life? How did that begin for you?
Yeah, I got a late start. I didn't start playing or doing anything artistically until after high school.
Okay.
So I was like, you know, probably close to 20 before I even started doing anything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of my friends in life and everywhere else have, like, forever on me because, you know, these cats playing when they're, like, 4 years old, man, 3 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, you know, I'm, like, a grown adult, like, oh, this works. I can do this. But,
yeah
I started way late.
Have you always been in the northern part of the United States? Is that basically home for you?
No, New Orleans is.
Okay. All right.
I was born in Philly, but New Orleans is home.
He was waiting for you to ask that question.
So, born in Philly, New Orleans, and then but you're back in Philly now. So is this a kind of a permanent relocation, or you kind of spend time between?
No. I'm only here for maybe eight more weeks,
okay.
Then I'm back in New Orleans. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here. Yeah.
Okay.
Do not ask Jimmy about Philly. Just don't do it.
So New Orleans.
I love Philly. It's worth anything.
So Ariel's at home for you, or am I getting in deeper now?
No, I'm from Brooklyn originally, but I moved to Philly like about 2 years ago now.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's home for me now, and met some really, really great people, some really great musicians in the city. It's kind of been where I've started my music career.
Yeah, okay. And when did you get involved with Jim and the music?
Probably about a year ago.
Okay.
It was a year ago. I had graduated from Haverford College with a biology major and a desire to go to med school. So I've been working for the past 2 years full-time at the Children's Hospital.
Oh, cool.
Doing cancer research.
Yeah.
And then about a year ago, I started just doing open mic nights around the city just to get the creative juices flowing again and reconnect to, like, my musical roots,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
And the first open mic I did, Jim came up to me and was like, "Oh my God, you sound like Bonnie Raitt." And
awesome.
Then proceeded to ask me to be on this album. And my immediate response was no.
Yeah.
Because I was like, "Who are you?
Yeah.
I don't know you." And I'm still going to go to med school. But no, after I started to see him around the scene more and I met some of the people that played on this album, Andre Cole, Chetan Thomas, and then as we started to kind of run in the same circles, and I was like, "Oh, hold up, like maybe what did you say about that New Orleans album?"
Yeah, yeah.
I guess I'll sing on it. So yeah, that's how I met Jimmy.
Yeah, okay. So Jim, was this you back in Philly just kind of a temporary thing? You back for personal stuff or for music, or what pulled you back into the Philly area?
Steady work for a minute.
Yeah.
I do law research investigation, trial consultancy, so I'm back here for that, and then I'm here about, like I said, maybe 8 more weeks, and I cannot wait to get back.
Yeah, yeah.
The weather up here today is a nice January day for down there, so it seems so bad.
Oh, really? Okay. So when you move back, do you do the same thing there, or will you be able to go back and kind of reimmerse yourself into the music and get back into that more of a full-time thing?
Oh, yeah, man, totally. Yeah, I'll be doing that and picking up some bartending gigs here and there in between, but yeah, I'll be down there playing, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be hitting as soon as I get back, so I'm stoked.
And so the new record, Yellow River, the press note said it's your fourth in 36 months. Am I reading that right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Rope-a-Dope.
Yeah. So you've been busy then.
Yeah. I have a lot. I have like 5 more records I'm planning now.
Oh, wow.
I'm gonna do another Acoustic Delta album up here in August, and then already planning to go back to Esplanade and do the next one probably January again. And yeah, I have a lot I got to get out.
Yeah. Are these songs that are just kind of have come to you recently, or stored up and you're just now getting to record them, or how does that work?
Yeah, pretty much the latter.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Keep On, 15 years old, Not Alone's 15 years old, Spell My Life's newer. I mean, it was older, but I kind of lost it in transit between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, but
yeah.
Still newer than other ones. So that's you know, that's newer. So it's kind of like a collection. Torture Me goes back 20 years.
Okay.
So just finally able to get them done and get them done properly. I mean, like a lot of the stuff I've played forever. You know, I've played Keep On forever. I've played Torture Me forever. There's, you know, other ones I've just always perform live, or maybe did other versions of them prior, but I didn't have the opportunity and financially and everybody able to be in the same place at the same time. New Orleans, you know, I'm talking about, to be able to do it.
Right.
So when the opportunity happened in January, you know, pretty much the whole New Orleans crew was home on the record, and then other folks who just wasn't enough room to fit them in. There's only, you know, only so many tracks and so many songs and so much money, and so I got in, you know, most folks who, you know, hoped to be on it or who wanted to be on it. And, you know, Sean was able to come in. He was free over those same couple of days. And, you know, Andre and Ariel and Jatun were free and Deej was free. So it was like, all right, well, these are the days. Like, these are the days.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And we cut probably 90% of it over 2 days at Esplanade. And then there was like an afternoon of overdubs in East Norriton, Pennsylvania at Morningstar. and then a couple hours in New Orleans at Jake Ecker Studio.
Okay.
Just overdoing, just doing the trumpet stuff, and then all the horns with Jeff on All Time Religion.
And
so it was a pretty came together quickly.
This is out now. Has it, how long has it been out?
The 28th, June 28th, it came out.
Okay, all right. And what does it look like for you to tour with this? Have you had a chance to do that, or will you tour? How does playing out with this music look like for you?
I've been pretty much nonstop in between everything else, reaching out to some of these more major booking agencies I've been back and forth with over the last couple of years, and trying to make something happen for, you know, if not the end of this year, into 2020. To get this on the road, because everybody wants to tour, man. Everybody's, you know, everybody's out there working and hustling, and everybody on the album is interested in taking it on the road. So it's I think it's kind of a catch 22 because,
right.
You know, this is my fourth record, and obviously I've been, you know, I'm fortunate for, you know, the folks I've been able to play with, like, over life. And I think some of these agencies are looking at not just the music and me, but they're looking at the roster and they're like, how much is this going to cost? What are we going to need to get? And how many of you and where? So I'm being asked, folks, no, hey, you know, you want to book me and Andre for a Delta Blues duet, wherever, like, that's just us. You know, if you want a 15-piece ensemble, 16-piece ensemble with this band, then you got that. If you want anything in between, you know, like, let me know, you know, if you want a trio or quartet, you know, what's your budget, and I'll fit the person around what you need, but the songs are still there.
Right.
The songs are the songs. The songs aren't going to change. So it's just, you know, like, what's the budget and what can we get out? And I think, you know, trying to impress that on people, I think some of these agencies, like the first record, they're, you know, they kind of shy away to, like, wow, like look at all these folks and, like, you know, what everyone's done in their career. And it's like, where's the budget to move this for somebody who hasn't been moved yet? And I understand where that's coming from. I mean, it doesn't make it any less frustrating.
Sure, yeah.
The fact that I appreciate their stance, but so that's kind of where I am now, just trying to literally beat doors down. And, you know, even folks I got referrals to were like, we can't right now, or, you know, come back later. And
yeah,
like, what else have to do? Get on the road. This is my fourth record.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're all different. I don't think anyone's better than any other, but they're all different.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, so that's, yeah, I'm doing my bestest, Greg. I'm doing my bestest.
do you feel like you have is there a particular venue or festival or type of club or environment where you fit better than another? Have you been able to determine that?
I mean, obviously festivals, I mean, it doesn't really matter. That, you know, that's where the people are.
Right.
And in this state, nobody buys records, really, which is sad. So there's no money off of that.
I know.
But at least, you know, to being able to play, you know, in front of 50,000, 100,000 people, whatever, like, there's, you know, even if everybody spins one song on Spotify, you know, you're coming out of there, and that's, like, I can't do that just, you know, living in New Orleans and just playing everywhere in New Orleans one night a week or two nights
a
week.
Yeah.
And I sure can't do that up in Philly.
Right.
Like, it doesn't work like that up here. And it's just different. So until you get on the road with it, it's not going to, you know, there's, like, that's what I got to break through next. You know, like, whether it's, you know, we can play women's festivals or something like Lilith Fair. We can do jazz festivals. We can do blues festivals. We can do folk festivals. You know, we can do Americana festivals. Like, we're not limited by what we do and how we craft what somebody needs. Like, it's just adaptable, and it's not catering or sacrificing what I'm doing or what anyone in the band is doing or singing or performing. I mean, you know, and I think Yellow River is a snapshot of, like, the last three records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the funk, you have the big band stuff, you have the more Americana stuff, you have, you know, so, like, what do you want? Like, we'll do that, and we're happy to do it. You know, so it's like, I go back to it all the time, and, you know, I do one of his songs each album, like Ben Harper. Like, where do you put Ben Harper?
Right.
Like, where do you throw him into?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah,
but, you know, like, we're not Ben Harper. He has 25 years on this.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to tap into that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're not the first person I've heard kind of express frustration with the way the culture is changing around music and how do we navigate kind of the new landscape. Do you find it harder to write a collection of songs and albums worth of music, knowing that it's going to be harder for folks? If you buy a record, usually you're going to sit down and listen to the whole thing at least once. But with people not buying full-length albums anymore, is it harder to write music knowing that some things are not going to get heard very much?
For me, no. I think the frustration comes when I look at the totals and stats at the end of the month or quarter or week for what's moving and what's not and what's why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's like, you know, I mean, like, I don't know, it's like, I mean, take somebody like Aerosmith. They're still probably getting, there's a billion streams of Dream On every day.
Yeah.
But who's listening to Uncle Salty today, right?
Right, I mean, yeah.
But so you just like, you just have to accept that's what it is and can't do anything about it. You know, it's like, you know, the songs are there. And thankfully between Ariel and Jitsun and Andre, you know, if anybody ever can't make something, well, I there's two folks who can sing and do it proper,
right.
Or there's one. So
right.
We'll just do those songs through whatever. So it's not, you know, did they make it easier for me where I don't have to pick and choose or write or only do certain songs? It's like, oh, well, I have this one, and well, this one doesn't really work for Andre, but it works for Ariel, and Jitsun works more for Jitsun, but this one should be like a duet, or it should be like a trio singing.
Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, I'm able to do that. They're able to do it, and it makes it easier, and I think it makes it easier for accessibility and people hearing the stuff, but again, you know, cause nobody buys, it's just getting out there and fighting for visibility, man.
Right, yeah. Do you have a name for the band? Is it that congealed yet that you have that kind of identity?
No. The first record I did, I put under Full Tilt Boogie Band, and then I just did the Delta Blues album with Andre, and then the last two have just been just under my name. Cause, I don't know, I mean, I wish it were a band to an extent, but that would...
How about we call it something like Pink Floyd?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Or have you heard of Led Zeppelin? Let's do that.
Let's call ourselves Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin's on tour.
Right, there you
go. Yeah, that'll fool them. This is the new Led Zeppelin record, right?
This is the new Zeppelin.
That'll get us festivals.
Yeah, there you
Maybe.
Go. So, go ahead.
Sounds like Led Zeppelin,
sorry,
Big Sam and Sean Martin, and thank you, Ariel. Like, you know, like, yeah, let's do that.
I just had to throw it. It was just too funny. Okay.
So it sounds like then that when you do get a chance to play out, you're mixing the catalog up. It's not just specifically the songs on Yellow River, but you're pulling from the other records too, and maybe potentially for some of the things that you haven't recorded yet as well.
That hasn't happened yet with this collective, but before we did, you know?
Yeah.
Because like I've been playing Keep On and Torture Me, two examples, like forever.
Right.
And they just got recorded properly, you know, regardless of other ways I did them. So, I mean, I like that because, you know, like, you know, the stuff I'm going to do in August, I'm just going to do like a day in Boom Room and do like a Delta Blues folk Americana record.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be dealing with Andre. I asked Ariel if she can be there. I asked Will, and we'll do whoever's in the room. Their songs will do whatever matches, and
right, okay.
We'll get out of it with 25, 30 songs. And there's a whole other thing. But me and Andre
doing 25 songs in 8 hours.
You know how easy that is? Oh my God!
Oh
that's
my
like
God!
Nothing.
What
are you talking
your
about?
No, he's a producer though. I defer to him. I don't know. It's going to be 25 songs, though. Damn.
So that's easy for me and Andre. For me and Andre, it's three minute Delta Blues songs an hour.
Yeah.
You didn't get the text.
Yeah.
So it sounds like it's.
Okay, we'll talk about it later. We're on a podcast now.
So it sounds like it's more organic, though, rather than overly pre-planned, right? Yeah.
Okay. No, for this stuff, it's just totally, you know, there's like some traditionals and some old stuff we'll do. Like the whole Boxcar Blues album, me and Andre probably did in 2 hours real time.
Yeah, okay.
That was like 10 songs. But it's like, you know, and then the acoustic blues stuff that we did, the Delta Blues folk stuff we did on Philosophical Assault, I think we did two or maybe three. We did them maybe. The one I kept messing up. It was my fault. It was my song, and I kept messing it up, man. And we probably still even did both of them within 45 minutes.
Okay.
So, you know, and then some of the stuff we've done, like I want to redo some things and, you know, and just the traditional stuff and the classic Delta Blues stuff, like that's nothing for me and him to bang out. Like we just did a show like 2 weeks ago, and we did, like, I think we did 10 or 12 songs, and I never, like, I didn't know four of them before. I'm like, what songs you want to do? And like Andre picked the songs from my catalog and his, and we just did them. I mean, they could have been recorded. That could have been the record. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So it's not, I mean, so say 25 songs or 24 songs. I mean, for me and Andre, we're still doing three-minute Delta Blues songs per hour for a day.
Yeah.
And, like, eating in between. Like, it's not as laborious as it sounds.
Yeah.
Like, those old blues cats, man, Johnny Hooker would rip 50 songs in a session.
Sure.
And they just got released over the next 6 years, you know?
It's yeah.
Just do it once, do it twice. And, like, the old jazz cats, man, like, they would have, like, you know, they do a record and it'd be, you know, it would be the whatever six or eight songs, then it'd be 14 songs of take one, take four, take three, and that's the record.
Yeah.
You know, it's that old-school American way of doing stuff
sure.
where it's, like,
yeah.
you know, people who, I mean, there's people who still dig into that. So,
oh, yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's nearly as laborious as Ariel's. Ariel's kind of, that's well, crazy. He's like, nah.
Yeah. Well, you can over polish too, I think. I mean, I think people like to hear the different nuances and the little imperfections here and there. It makes it feel real. You know, I think,
you run
into that with the over corrected pop music scene, and it's just I don't know, the jazz, Americana, blues roots, all that, just the organicness of that makes it much more enjoyable to listen to,
and the simplicity of it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
because like a lot of stuff I write and record and arrange, like I don't play on it. Like Andrea wanted me to play on Spend My Life. I'm like, dude, what am I going to add to it? Like, I wrote it. My name's on the record. I produced it. I arranged it. What do you want me? What am I going to add to what Ariel and Sean did and Sam was done my life? There's no reason for me to play on that track.
Yeah.
what am I going to add to that?
Right.
Like, that, no. Like, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Like, stop it. Like, same thing with how we did Bessie Smith. What was I going to add to that?
Yeah.
I was thinking, all right, I'll do like, some lap steel, like, punch. I'm like, no, just leave it alone. Like,
Yeah,
you know,
that's cool.
Let it be what it is.
Yeah. So if folks want to find out where you're going to be, how they can catch some of this music live or listen to a copy of the record, get in touch, what's the best way to do all that?
Bandcamp.com, and just put in, you know, Jim Stevens and Yellow River.
Okay.
And all the singles are out there on all the various streaming and purchase sites, and
Yeah,
albums
up
other
on
stuff.
Spotify.
Yeah.
Is there a website?
Spotify, Amazon, Pandora. Just ropeadope.com, just on the label's website.
Okay.
And then on Facebook, Jim Stevens Music.
Awesome. Ariel, Jim, thanks. This has been neat hearing about the music and your story and what you guys have cooked up here. And so we wish you the best for sure.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having us, Craig.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.